And appearing in the form of man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, as we begin the great drama of Holy Week, culminating in the resurrection of our Lord, I have come to my mind that story from the life of St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the greatest theologians, some say the greatest theologian of all time in the history of the church. After all, during the Council of Trent, his Summa Theologica was put on the altar for the cardinals and bishops to consult alongside the Bible and the decrees of the Roman pontiffs. That's how highly regarded St. Thomas Aquinas is. You can't go wrong following the teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas. And forgive me if I've told this story to you recently, but I think it's well worth repeating. But anyway, one day he was asked, "Thomas, what is the greatest book that you have ever read?" And the questioner was no doubt expecting something like something by St. Augustine or St. Jerome or St. Athanasius or St. Ambrose. After all, St. Thomas very frequently quoted from the earlier fathers of the church. Or maybe it would be a book by his favorite philosopher, Aristotle. What St. Thomas said then, after pointing to the crucifix, he said, "This is the greatest book that I have ever read." It's not a book of pages. It's a book of a crucified body. It is the human nature of our Lord dying on the cross, his human nature inseparably united to his divinity. That is God dying on the cross, suffering on the cross in his human nature. In his divine nature, he couldn't suffer, but in his human nature, he suffered more than we could ever begin to imagine. And my dear brethren, that is also the greatest book that you will ever read. You will never run out of inspiration. You will never exhaust the fullness of meaning that is found in that. I mean, that is the incarnation. That is the redemption. And so this is a book that all of us must study lovingly and with utmost gratitude. As I said, the greatest book ever written. What a beautiful analogy by St. Thomas Aquinas. I remember hearing another thought from much more recent centuries from Bishop Sheen, and he said, we can read the whole history of the world in the crucifix. The whole history? How so? Well, what is the history of the world if not the history of sin? Yes, lots of good fulfilled, lots of saints happening over the centuries, lots of good deeds fulfilled, but is it not also true to say the history of the world is one of sin? Just think of how many sins each one of us have committed. Multiply that by the 100 the estimated 100 billion people that have lived since the time of Adam and Eve. It's an incalculable amount of sin. And the point is, in his suffering body, Jesus is atoning for every kind of sin committed throughout history. We see his head pierced with thorns. He's atoning for all the sins of thought that have happened in the history of the world, all the sins of pride, all the sins that occur in the mind. Maybe people didn't do them in act, but they committed them in their minds. His eyes are filled with blood and tears, and he sees so many signs of rejection. He's atoning for all the sins of sight that have been committed. All the times humans looked at things they should not have looked at, occasions of sin, Jesus is atoning for those sins. His ears are filled with imprecations and curses and rejections. He's atoning for all of the sins of hearing that have been committed in the course of the centuries. All the times we listened to gossip, to slander, to bad words, to dirty jokes, Jesus is atoning for all of those sins of hearing. His tongue is swollen with thirst, parched with thirst. He's atoning for all the sins of speech, all the sins of drunkenness, all the sins of gluttony. And he refused to take water during his passion just to atone all the more. His body is covered with welts from the scourging. Surely he was atoning for all of the sins of the flesh. Yes, that sin that is the cause of the damnation of most souls. More souls go to hell for that sin. Look how Jesus was atoning for it. His hands and feet are nailed. He's atoning for all the times people used hands and feet to do sinful deeds. He's lost his independence. He can't move from the cross. He's atoning for all of our willfulness to do things and go places where we should, where he was being offended through sin. So yes, I think that is a very profound reflection. We see the history of the world in the crucifix. And my dear brethren, you and I, we see our own history too. It's hard to point the finger now, isn't it, when we realize that we contributed to his sufferings and his death. But he did it willingly out of love for us and to help us understand the evil of sin. How can anybody think that sin is no big deal when they look at the horrific sufferings that Jesus is undergoing to atone for not all sin in general, but every kind of sin in particular? Sin is a big deal. Sin is a terrible thing because we see the cost so greatly exemplified in the suffering body of our blessed Lord. There's a story from the conversion of King Clovis of France, who one of the fortunate circumstances was he married a Catholic wife, and she helped St. Clotilde helped him to become a Catholic. And as he's being instructed in the catechism, he's being told about the passion and death. And as he's listening to this, he's getting more and more angry. He's gripping his throne, his knuckles are going white, and he says to St. Remigius, if I had been there, I would have put a stop to that. I wouldn't have let them do that. If only I could have been there. St. Remigius said, oh yes, King Clovis, you were there. Every one of us was there by our sins. And we were adding to his sufferings. You see how important repentance is, my dear brethren. There's that beautiful story of St. Louis Rie de Montfort when he gave a sermon in his hometown of Montfort. Instead of preaching about Jesus crucified, he took the crucifix throughout the church and he presented it to people to kiss. And he just said one thing to each person: aren't you sorry that you have offended him? That was the most moving sermon that the people had ever heard. Our Lord on the cross gives us strength. There was a nun who was seen in the South Sea, one of the South Sea islands, in a leper colony many years ago by some tourist, and she was bandaging up horrendous, repulsive wounds. And the tourist who saw her doing her work there said, sister, how can you do that? I wouldn't do that for $1,000. And she said to him in reply, I wouldn't do it for $10,000. But then she pointed to her crucifix and said, but I would do it for him. So we see then that it's veiled, yes, during Holy Week, but it will be unveiled on Good Friday for us to pour forth our love and veneration for him who took all of our sins upon himself. Doesn't mean, of course, we just sit back and do nothing. Of course, we have to do our part of repentance and penance, but still, he took everything upon himself to give us that opportunity to save our souls and to become holy. So let us do that. Let us see ever more and more his love and what he has accomplished. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.